How does a small, impoverished nation with no standing army rally to defeat a powerful nation that, on paper, seems to have every advantage? This is the question that lies at the center of the Chaco War, a 1930s conflict that was fought between Bolivia and Paraguay. Surprisingly, the answer has a lot to do with the topic of ethnicity. But before I get into that, I'm going to give a little context about the war itself. The motivations for the fighting of the Chaco War were twofold. Firstly, the desire for coastline access, and secondly, the desire for oil. Bolivia, in the War of the Pacific that went from 1879 to 1884, lost its entire coastline to Chile, and the Paraguayan Chaco provided Bolivia access to the coastline. It also was said that the Chaco had large oil reserves, which Bolivia hoped to exploit. But what exactly is the Paraguayan Chaco? The Paraguayan Chaco, also known as the Chaco Boreal, is a 20,000 square mile piece of the Gran Chaco, which is a semi-arid lowlands that lies in the territories of Paraguay, Bolivia, Argentina, and Brazil. Though long utilized by the country of Paraguay, this area of the Chaco was actually in dispute between the countries of Bolivia and Paraguay. Their claims to the land differed in type. Bolivia's claim was that the capital of Bolivia should also rule over the Chaco because it used to belong to the same Spanish colonial district. The Paraguayans' claim to this land, however, had deeper ethnic meaning. This land had long been settled by Guarani, an indigenous group that is native to Paraguay. They had used this land for cattle ranching and for production of tannin, which is a substance used for leather tanning and photography that comes from the quebracho trees in the area. When the first conflict broke out in 1928, it seemed almost inevitable that Bolivia would vanquish Paraguay and would reclaim its coastline. Among the advantages that Bolivia enjoyed were the fact that it had a bigger population, almost three times the size of Paraguay's. It had a well-known German army commander, Hans Kundt, who was a veteran of World War I, and it employed the help of Chilean and Czech mercenaries. It also enjoyed American support in terms of buying arms and getting loans. It had a newer air force, its planes were brand new, and it had a large standing army. The country was also much richer, and so could afford modern things like modern tanks and military equipment. This stood in stark contrast to Paraguay, which had a very sparse population that was even sparser due to the fact that it had just been involved in the War of the Triple Alliance, where it had lost much of its population and half its territory. Paraguay also had a significant disadvantage in air force. Its planes were from the World War I era, and the country was impoverished, so it had no money to replace them. Paraguay also had practically no standing army, and only enough money for very cheap arms. In fact, it was so poor that most of the arms it used in the course of the war were actually captured from the Bolivian side. Now, despite these seemingly insurmountable odds, Paraguay managed to retain control of the Chaco Boreal. How did they do this? Well, the answer lies primarily in the ideas of environment and ethnicity. I'll begin with environment. As I mentioned before, the Bolivian army, being much larger and wealthier, had been able to afford the latest in modern equipment. However, as it turned out, this equipment was remarkably ill-suited to the desert environment of the Chaco. The heavy arms were difficult to transport at a time when mobility was critical in fighting. In addition, The heat and rough terrain rendered the modern tanks of the Bolivians almost completely useless. In contrast, the Paraguayan side, which had bought cheaper arms with its meager funds, found that this cheaper machinery was actually lighter and much better suited to quick transport through the desert. This side also used the limited mobility of the Bolivian tanks to its advantage, with parties of foot soldiers routinely surrounding and raiding the tanks. I'll turn now to the idea of ethnicity. The Paraguayan side was largely made up of soldiers of Guarani descent. Now, these people viewed the Chaco as their homeland, and felt a sort of ethnic solidarity and tie to the land. This being the case, they were acutely aware of the limitations of the land, including the fact that water was scarce. The Paraguayan side used this fact to great effect, routinely cutting off the Bolivian side to their water supply. This war is sometimes called the War of Thirst, because of the sheer number of Bolivians who died because of limited access to water. This same idea of ethnic solidarity also had a tremendous impact on the morale of both sides. The Paraguayan side was largely led by Paraguayan commanders, with a couple of key exceptions. That being said, the troops on the ground felt more of a connection with these commanders, and they felt that they could work and fight towards a common goal, protecting their homeland. The Bolivian side, however, had leadership that was largely foreign. As I mentioned before, they had a high-up German commander, as well as many Czech and Chilean commanders. These commanders, in addition, were mostly white, while their lower-ranking troops were, in large part, indigenous peoples from the Altiplano region. These peoples had long suffered oppression at the hands of white settlers, and so they felt more distrust of their commanders. The same could not be said about the Paraguayan side, who rallied around their foremost commander, a general by the name of José Estigarribia. A brilliant military mind, Estigarribia was keenly aware of the lack of familiarity that the Bolivian leadership had with the terrain and used it to his advantage. He often employed tactics such as encircling Bolivian troops, cutting off their access to water, and taking large numbers of prisoners. Fighting raged from 1932 to 1935, with the Paraguayan side winning almost every battle despite Bolivia's seeming superiority in terms of modern weaponry and leadership. Paraguay's Guarani forces fought ferociously to defend what they viewed as their rightful homeland, while Bolivian troops deserted in the thousands due to their massive dehydration and lack of support for this war that they were being led into by foreign officers. Although the Paraguayan forces clearly enjoyed the advantage near the end of the war, they lacked the manpower and funds to make a final push to truly declare victory, and so the war ended in a stalemate and a ceasefire in 1935. After bringing in independent arbitrators to settle the land dispute, the Chaco Treaty was signed in Buenos Aires in 1938. This treaty ceded almost the entire portion of the land in the Chaco Boreal to Paraguay. The human cost of what had begun as a territorial and resource dispute was massive. There were 36,000 lives lost on the Paraguayan side and more than double that for the Bolivians. The unprecedented Paraguayan defense of the Chaco Boreal was achieved largely due to the ethnic solidarity that the Paraguayan troops felt with their commanders, as well as with their land, and an intimate knowledge of environmental conditions that left the Bolivian side thirsty and demoralized. The Bolivians were ultimately unable to reclaim their coastline and were unable to find the oil they had desired initially. In fact, no oil was ever found within the confines of the Chaco Boreal. The region of Latin America has a long history of bloody conflicts fought over resources, even in cases such as this one, where the actual quantity of the resource turns out to be much less than anticipated. In fact, the phenomenon of costly disputes over resources is so common that it has its own term, the resource curse. Although the resource in the case of the Chaco War was oil, this is not always the case. In the War of the Pacific, which lost Bolivia its coastline in the first place in the late 19th century, the resource that was in dispute was nitrate. Also, in recent years, we've seen many disputes, both international and civil, in petroleum-rich countries, including Bolivia, Mexico, and Peru. Additionally, many scholars have tied the armed conflict in Colombia that has been occurring for over 50 years to the ability for the various dissidents to both access and export the various natural resources found in the country. The Chaco War remains distinct from all of these examples, both modern and historical, however, because oil was never actually found within the region. It seems as if this war may actually have been more motivated by Bolivia's desire to reclaim their coastline. In either case, Bolivia's campaign was unsuccessful and resulted in a staggering amount of bloodshed on the side of both the Bolivians and the Paraguayans. In this podcast, I have attempted to demonstrate some of the environmental as well as ethnic considerations that allowed Paraguay to defend the Chaco Boreal against the Bolivians in the Chaco War. Thank you for listening. My sources for this podcast came from worldatwar.net, Encyclopedia Britannica, At the Tomb of the Inflatable Pig by John Gimlet, as well as Conflict and Natural Resources by Michael Ross. The music used was the Paraguayan National Anthem, Boleros de Caballería by Sabia Andina, La Catedral by Agustín Barrios, and Despedida de Tarija, performed by the Banda del Ejército Boliviano. Thank you again.